Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and turn this morning to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we're looking at verse 36 and verse 37 to begin with this morning. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and verse 37. Notice what the Word of God states here for us. And Joseph, another name or meaning for that would be Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Many years ago, during the colonial era of this country, wealthy ladies were proud of their wide board oak floors. At least once a week, servants would wet rub and then dry rub these floors to make them shiny. It was a very simple task involving running a wet mop along the grain of the wood and then a dry mop. But sometimes a careless worker would mop across the grain and it would produce streaks on the floor. When that happened, the lady of the house would scold the servant for rubbing the floor the wrong way. And that is where we get our phrase, to rub someone the wrong way. Do you ever rub people the wrong way? I hope you don't. Maybe there are people that rub you the wrong way, but I will tell you, if you were ever around the life of Barnabas, he would not rub you the wrong way because he was a minister of encouragement. Are you a minister of encouragement? When you get around people, do they leave encouraged or discouraged? Think about that. From the life of Barnabas, we're going to learn this morning how to be that minister of encouragement. Notice, first of all, with me, if you would, in verse number 36, we see that a minister of encouragement brings blessings to others. The Bible says, again in the context, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. That simply means the son of encouragement. In fact, a Greek word for that is the meaning of it would be encouragement. It is paraclete, meaning one called alongside of. And so when Barnabas would come alongside of you, you would be encouraged. And by the way, it was the apostles who surnamed him Barnabas because he was that minister of encouragement. He was someone, if you would, that you just enjoyed seeing at church. You would enjoy seeing him out and about. He or she was that kind of individual. And we see here, according to verse number 37, that he brought blessing to others through, in verse 37, having some land, he sells it, and he brings it and lays it at the apostles' feet so that they could then distribute it to the many within the flock who needed some needs that needed to be met. And so he was generous. An encourager sees the need and give and will give what they can to meet the need. That's just an encourager. They practice what 1 John chapter 3 talks about, that they have their bowels of compassion, if you would, opened up. That's how the Bible talks about it. And that when they see a need, they just meet the need, be it financial or some other way. And by the way, you don't need money to be an encourager. I don't want you to think that. Say, well, good, I'm off the hook because, you know, I don't have that much money, so I don't have to go around and be an encourager. No, there are other ways to be an encourager. For instance, sick people don't need money. They just need a word of concern. Lonely people don't need money. They just need minutes of time. Discouraged people don't need money, they just need a word of hope. And hurting people don't need money, they just need a touch on the shoulder. In other words, there are several ways that an encourager can meet the need of others. Barnabas, in this context, yes, used the money that he had to be a blessing and a help to others. And we find that he was generous, but he was also selfless. Go with me to chapter 11, if you would. Chapter 11 of Acts, and look at verse number 22. There was a great need down in the city of Antioch, and the people in Jerusalem had gotten word of that, and so they wanted to send Barnabas down there to find out exactly what was going on. And we find in verse number 22, the Bible says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch." Now, I preached from this passage a few weeks ago. He encourages them, according to verse 23, to cleave unto the Lord. Then we find in the greater context of this that he sends or brings Paul along with them to minister unto them. Now, notice with me, if you would, in chapter 14 and verse number 22. He and Paul now are together, and here is what they are doing in verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So here was a man who was not only generous, but he was also very selfless. He goes down to Antioch, which was, yes, a wealthy city, but was also a very wicked city. And yet he finds there a group of people to minister unto. He gives himself to them, and then later he goes along with Paul here to Derbe, and he pours himself into them, confirming their salvation, confirming their souls, exhorting them to continue in the faith. This was Paul, or Barnabas. Barnabas was a man who was just being used of God constantly to bring blessing to others. Now, when people get around you, are they blessed? Are they encouraged? Because you see, when people get around us, they do need to receive from us words of encouragement. They need to receive from us a blessing. And we find in the context of Scripture that Barnabas was such a man. There are certain people that bring blessing to me whenever I am around them. I go to try to be a blessing to them, but when I leave the encounter with them, I believe I receive the greater blessing. I can give you one example of that. When I go see Jerry and Clover Strickland in the hospital, and thinking about that unless the Lord miraculously heals, that is their home until the Lord takes them home. And there they are. And I think about when I go to visit with them, and I always, you know, read a Bible passage to them and pray with them. But just to see the joy in their spirit, to hear the joy in their voice, even though, again, this is not their lot in life that they would have chosen, but there they are. And not complaining, at least I never hear it, and so thankful that when I leave there, because again, I go there to be a blessing to them, an encouragement to them, but when I leave, I feel like I receive the greater blessing. And I believe that when you got around Barnabas, in the day and age in which he lived, he was that kind of man. He just blessed you. He encouraged you. He was that minister of encouragement, because that's what the minister of encouragement does. But notice again the second truth in Acts chapter 9. Turn there, would you? We see another mentioning of Barnabas in Acts chapter 9. And here is the second truth I want you to learn this morning, that a minister of encouragement brings or breaks barriers for others. Now remember, we're not too far into the life of then Saul. Saul was the one who was persecuting the church. Saul gets saved at the beginning of chapter 9. His life is forever changed. God calls him to preach the gospel to the Gentile and to the Jew. And we find, though, that as we come to verse number 26, the Bible says, And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So there was this slow acceptance upon the disciples to embrace Saul. And rightfully so, by the way. I mean, just think about this. If Saul lived in Gaines, Michigan, and he had the reputation of going about persecuting people like you and me, making it very, very difficult, and he was, by the way, had a means of success. He was just going to Damascus to get more permission letters to bring in more men and women and see them arrested for standing for Christ. And so think about him getting saved and the reluctance on our end to embrace him. We would say, hold it, I don't even think this is real. I don't think this is genuine in this man's life. This cannot be. This cannot be the same man that's been persecuting the church. Now he's saved. He claims to be one of us. You've got to be kidding me. And we find in verse number 26 that the true disciples of Christ were slow to embrace him. They believed not that he was a disciple. No way could this be. By the way, that is what is so great about the amazing grace of God, that it can save whosoever will. Amen? It can save the hardest heart. He can just do great and mighty things. And here he saves Saul. Saul, by the way, beginning at verse number 19 and following, you will see that he's now preaching Jesus. And he is just excited, hey, I want to be with these who know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are slow to accept him. But look at verse 27. I love the first word, but. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Whereas the disciples were slow to accept him, Barnabas had this sweet embrace. He says, now Saul, you just come along with me. I'll take you to these apostles, and I will share with them the great things that God is doing through you, and that this is not just some phony baloney. This is the real deal, disciples. You need to embrace him. And by the way, a real encourager, excuse me, will champion the underdog. Saul at this point was the underdog. And here is Barnabas being the cheerleader, being the encourager. He comes along and he champions Saul, whose name later becomes Paul. And he says, hold it, man, this guy has truly been saved. This guy is preaching Jesus, and he simply wants to join you and just promote that cause of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, an encourager will jump on the bandwagon when everyone else is jumping off. And Barnabas basically was saying here, don't look at Saul for what he was. Look at him for what he is. Look at him for what he is. Don't magnify, if you would, all of the past of his life and how he persecuted you. Look at for what he is now. Look at the amazing grace of God in his life. I love Barnabas, don't you? I love this man. A man who would come alongside and champion the underdog. A man who would come alongside Saul and just say, hey, I want you to embrace this man. The grace of God that saved you saved him and changed him. Barnabas was that encourager. Now, don't be like the little boy that I read about after a church service who came up to his pastor and said, Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to become a doctor and make a lot of money. And when I do, and if I do, I'm going to give you a lot of money too. Well, the pastor said, well, son, that's so kind and generous. But why are you going to give me a lot of money? Well, because my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. Well, now, we don't need the discouragers. We need the encouragers. Barnabas breaks the barriers for others. Praise God for people like this in churches. Praise God for people who are willing to take people from where they are and take them to where they need to go in their walk with the Lord. How many of you realize that Jesus saves the worst of sinners? He saves the worst of sinners. He saved us. And He's given us a home in heaven. And there are people outside the walls of this building today who sometimes think, you know, we talk about you belong here Sunday. Think, man, not me. I don't belong in church. I'm too wicked. But you're the prime candidate to be here because the Lord saves whosoever will. We find in the context here that Barnabas was breaking the barrier for Saul. He's saying, hold it, disciples, embrace this new disciple. Take him under your wing. Help him grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. He wants to serve the Lord. Praise God for that minister of encouragement. Notice with me then, if you would, in chapter 15. In chapter 15, we see a third truth about a minister of encouragement. And that is that they build bridges for others. Look at this now. In Acts 15 and verse number 36, we'll start there, but we'll go down through verse number 41. And some days after, Paul, now he's named Paul, said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. In other words, a very simple mission. Barnabas, let's go back. Instead of moving forward here, let's go back to these other places where we've already been, confirm them in their faith and so forth, and see how they're doing. Sounds good, doesn't it? No problem. Look at the next verse. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Again, so far, no problem. Next verse. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So now this becomes a problem. Barnabas, I just wanted you and me to go and make this mission. And now you are saying we need to take John Mark, the one who departed from us in Pamphylia, the one who already left the work. You want us to take him? He'll slow us down. I don't think he's the man that we need to take. I think he's finished. I think he's washed up. I think he's done. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them. Here are two brothers, by the way. Barnabas, a godly man, Paul, a godly man. But their disagreement is so sharp, verse 39 says, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So we see in this passage that there is a very clear contentious moment between these two godly men over whether we should take John Mark or not. But Barnabas, the encourager, he's the uniter. He, if you would, we find in verse 39, they do depart ways. But he takes with him John Mark. Paul takes with him Silas. Both parties go and do the work of God. When Paul was saying John Mark was finished, I want you to listen to this carefully. Barnabas saw the potential in John Mark. Think about that. According to Paul, who I think was a man who was probably very much black and white, Barnabas said, hold it, this isn't necessarily a black and white issue. Here is a man, yes, who did leave the work, but I think that if we just take some time with him and love on him and encourage him and build him up, he can be profitable for the ministry. For Paul at that moment, he said, no, sir, this isn't going to happen. We're not taking this dead weight with us. Barnabas said, excuse me, I'll take him. I'll develop him. Then years removed from this scene, you find Paul writes in one of his letters this phrase, bring Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Hold it. This was the same man that he said he's washed up, he's finished, he's done, he's departed from the work. Now, years later, he's saying, hey, when you come, bring Mark with you. He's profitable for the ministry. You see, Barnabas saw potential where others saw problems. And again, that's what an encourager does. That when everybody else sees problems, the encourager sees the potential. Not that they are denying the problems, but they say, hold it, yeah, there are these obstacles, but I see the potential. Sometimes people can have the Charlie Brown complex. Say, what is that? Remember Charlie Brown, he could never do anything right, and Lucy was always around to make sure that he couldn't do anything right. In one cartoon one time, Lucy put her hands on her hips after Charlie Brown had made another mistake and said the following encouraging words. Charlie Brown, you are a foul ball in the line drawing of life. You're in the shadow of your own goalpost. You are a miscue. You are three putts on the 18th green. She'd probably say the same thing about me. You are a 7-10 split in the 10th frame. You are a dropped rod and reel in the lake of life. You are a missed free throw, a shanked 9-iron, and a called third strike. Do you understand? Have I made myself clear? Boy, you don't need a Lucy in your life. You need a Barnabas to come alongside you and give you a word of encouragement, particularly after you have a moment of failure. How many of you fail in life? Well, I'm glad to see we have some perfect ones in here. Truth of the matter is, every hand ought to be up, hey, I have failed in life. I have failed at times being a parent. I have failed at being a pastor. I have failed at being a Christian. I have made my blunders. I have failed, but praise God for those that come along in our life like a Barnabas. And they don't keep bringing up our past, but rather they take us at the point of failure and take us on to victory. Praise God for those kind of people. And Barnabas saw in John Mark great potential. He believed in him, and John Mark needed somebody to believe in him. Do you ever need somebody like that? Somebody, so to speak, who is on your side, somebody who will believe in you. Charles Schwab, the famous businessman, said, and I quote, I have yet to find a man, however exalted his station, who did not do better work and put forth greater effort under a spirit of approval than under a spirit of criticism. Thank God for Barnabas. If he spoke words of criticism, we don't read about it. He was the son of consolation. He was that minister of encouragement. And at this point, he's helping build bridges for Paul and John Mark, which later that bridge was built. Just think about this for a moment. Just think if Barnabas walked away from Saul, later Paul, like everybody else did. We would not have, humanly speaking, 14 books of the New Testament. Just think about this, that if Barnabas quit on John Mark like Paul did, we wouldn't have the Gospel of Mark. praise God for the Barnabases in our life. They help build bridges for others. I thank God over the years of my Christian walk, I have, and even now doing what Barnabas was doing, meeting people at their points of failure and helping them go from that point on to victory. It's a joy. It's a joy to be involved in people's lives and help them realize that failure is not final. Yes, it's reality. Yes, this happened in your life, but failure is not final. You can go on and you can experience victory in the Lord. You may have made a decision, something simple as, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible more this week, and you set out to do it, and by Wednesday, you've already missed a day. And Thursday comes along, and you miss again. And you begin to beat yourself up. See, I can't do it. I just can't do it. My heart is there, but I just can't do it. Praise God for that Barnabas in your life that comes along and says, hold it. With the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. And thank God today for Barnabas that we see in the Scripture. A man who was a minister of encouragement. Listen to the following true account. There was a boy whose dad died when he was 5 years old. This boy had dropped out of school after the sixth grade. By the time he was 17, he had lost job after job after job. He married at 18, had a baby at 19, and was separated from his wife at 20. He then became a railroad conductor, but he got fired. He joined the army, but he washed out. He became a farmer and lost his shirt. He applied to law school, but got turned down. He became an insurance salesman and couldn't give it away. Finally, he became a dishwasher and a cook in a two-bit restaurant. One thing that he was able to do was finally to persuade his wife to come back to him, and together they made a living cooking and washing dishes in this little restaurant. At 65 years of age, he retired. He went to the mailbox and got his first Social Security check that had a grand total of $105. This 65-year-old man was so discouraged, he decided to commit suicide. So he went under a shade tree, wrote out his last will and testament, determined to end his life. Well, somehow his wife had gotten wind about this and confronted him and said, let me tell you one thing you can do. I believe you can do better than anybody I've ever known. He said, what's that? She says, you can cook. He said, do you really think so? She says, yes, you're fabulous. Well, that then gave him an idea. He went down to a local bank and borrowed $87 against his Social Security check. He went to the supermarket, bought some chicken in some boxes, and fried it with a special recipe he had developed on his own, put it in boxes, and began going door to door in Corbin, Kentucky, selling his chicken. It became so popular, he came up with an idea to try to sell it to restaurants. He was turned down 1,014 times before a man by the name of John Y. Brown tasted his chicken and said, I'll go into business with you. That man's name was Colonel Harlan Sanders, the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. What was the secret? Same man, same recipe, same ability. Same chicken. The only difference, a word of encouragement. Someone came alongside him and ministered encouragement. And today, you may never realize on this side of heaven whose life you are impacting, because the reality is, the Bible says, none of us live unto ourselves, none of us die unto ourselves. We all make a difference. And while I'm here, I want to make a difference for good. How about you? I want to make a good difference in people's lives. And this church, really all of our churches, need to be full of ministers of encouragement. Every pastor's dream to have our church full of people who are nothing but ministers of encouragement. Oh God, give us more Barnabases. That is what is needed today. And I ask you, will you become such a minister? Will you let God work through you to become that minister of encouragement? Say, well, what is needed? Glad you ask. Let me show you one last verse. Go back, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And this was said of Barnabas. Look at verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. The key to me for Barnabas being a minister of encouragement is found in verse number 24. He was a good man, but what made him good? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. A few weeks ago, I preached a message to you about the importance of living in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you and I are living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can about guarantee you, you won't speak a discouraging word. You will speak an encouraging word. Why? Because the role of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside of, the role of an encourager is to come alongside of and to build up, not tear down. Barnabas was an encourager because he learned to live his life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he did, everywhere he went, he was building bridges for others. He was breaking down barriers. He was bringing blessing to others. Isn't that how you want to live your life? Life is too short to be a grump. Don't be a grump. I mean, man, there's nothing more miserable to be around a grump. That's why I love being around John Alexander. You ask John, how you doing? I know lately he hasn't been feeling the best, but you know what I'm about to say. John would say what? Fantastic. And I believe John was able to say that. Not that he's perfect, but he has learned along the way to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what comes out? Not, oh man, life stinks, Pastor. No, but he says this, I'm fantastic. And you know, that may not necessarily be your response. And I want you to be real with people, I get that. But you know, when people ask you how you're doing, and I know we all have a bad day. Have you ever been sometimes around people, go through a store, hey, how you doing? And they walk right by. Have you ever been tempted? Because I have. I wanted to turn right around and go get them and say, hey, you asked me how I'm doing. Let me really tell you how I'm doing. I haven't because, one, they don't need to hear what I have to say. But nonetheless, when God's working in your life, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Bring blessings. Break the barriers and build bridges. And you will when you and I live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now their heads bowed and their eyes closed this morning. A very simple message about the need of encouragement. Now I wonder this morning, there'd be some here who say, preacher, in my life this morning, I want the Holy Spirit of God. I need to live my life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just to be an encourager. I just need to live my life in the power of the Holy Spirit. I many times feel so weak spiritually. And I need the help of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, would you remember me in prayer that I would live my life daily in the conscious presence of the Holy Spirit and also being yielded to Him so that I can live in the power of the Spirit? That's my need. I realize that this morning. Would you remember me in prayer? Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. I want this morning to be those here who say, Pastor, in my life, I want to be this Barnabas, if you would. I want to be the Barnabas in my family. I want to be the Barnabas in my church. I want to be the Barnabas, if you would, at my workplace. I just want to be a Barnabas. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that God will work through me to be that minister of encouragement. Would you remember me, Pastor, in prayer? Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. One last question. Is there someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I do not know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I'd like to know. I'd like to know what it is to be able to say, if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. Not because of what church I go to, but because I've personally received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I haven't done that yet. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul. If that's you, would you raise your hand, rub your hat, say, yes, that's my need. That is my need this morning, Pastor. It is. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, how I praise you. How I praise you so much for the fact that you are the God of all comfort. You are the God of encouragement. When we were at our worst, you were at your best. You gave your best so that we could have eternal life. Thank you for your words of encouragement into our life. And for these many this morning who said, yes, I want to be that minister of encouragement. Oh, Father, strengthen us in this area. Grow us up in this area. When we might be tempted to speak a critical word, help us to speak an encouraging word. Father, how I pray for these many as well that have raised their hands and have said, I need to learn to be more aware of the Holy Spirit, and I need to live my life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, help them to experience victory in this area. Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your word. Help people now. Strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.